this theme that I've been speaking on about we're made in the image and likeness of God is so important to know that I'm made like God. And God's, you know, when we say, well, what is God? Gospel of John, John 4, 24, 25, and so forth, it says God is what? God is Jesus. God is the Spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're made in the image and likeness of God. So what does that mean? And this came about as I was sharing. These thoughts came about on teaching along this line. When I was waking up, I heard in my heart, best in class. So we're made in the same class of being as God. What does that mean? If he's a spirit, then the real me is the spirit. I have a soul and I live in this body. But when we leave this earth, this physical body eventually will be changed and we'll have this physical body when we get to heaven. It'll be glorified and changed. But the real me is the spirit. And so God made us, it's in Psalm 8, it says we're made a little bit lower than him. So there's nothing greater in creation than man. And the devil knows it, and he wants to, you know, to destroy God's creation. And so that's the whole thing. The devil comes to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. You wouldn't like it. You know, if you said, well, they did me wrong, they stole from me, would they be your friend? No, they're not your friend. And so if the scripture says in John 10:10, Jesus said, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So Jesus exposed him. He said, that's what he is. He's a stealer, he's a thief, and he's a destroyer. And so if there's any of those attributes going on in your life, you know it didn't come from God. That's a one way, Ashley, that you can tell. So all these thoughts that come, and you think God's not like that. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that means when I'm not living that way, it's not God's fault. He didn't cause it. The devil did. Or my bad choices. See? So God didn't make you walk away. You did. Because of thought. So it wasn't God that caused that. So sometimes my bad choices cause problems, right? God didn't do it. And then some things the devil causes. But God's whole thing is, he's saying, I came to bless you. I came to bless you. And so God is in the business of blessing and giving us peace and joy. And so that's why we need to, whenever we're going through something in life, that's the easy thing. You just stop and say, what kind of thoughts are those? That's not from God. That's either my dumb thoughts or it's thoughts coming in my mind that are not from God. If they're not, then just, you know, tell them to leave. Don't act on them. So we're to do what? We're to walk by faith. What does that mean? Here's a scripture in the Passion Translation, Hebrews 11:1. And this talks about faith, what faith is. And I like this. This says here, now faith brings our hopes into reality. And it becomes the foundation needed to acquire things we long for. What does that mean? When it says faith, that means confidence. That means I have absolute confidence in God. So my confidence in something that he promised, I'm confident God loves me. See, that's what Hebrews 11:6 says. I come to God, I believe that he is, I believe he loves me, and then what? And he rewards me. So if I believe that and I'm confident of that, it says that's the foundation. That's what I can rest on. So it's like you sitting in that chair. You're confident when I sit in it, the floor is going to hold you up. The foundation is going to hold the chair up. So what is this saying? My confidence in God is the foundation or the support for things that I'm expecting God to do. So I'm expecting God to answer my prayer, and I'm confident that he heard me and that he loves me. And that is the foundation of things that I can expect God to do for me. So I'm expecting that, and that's exactly what this says. Faith brings our hopes or expectations into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I'm really thankful for Brianna, Ashley, Gary, and Cody, and Shaniqua just sharing. And there was something that Ashley shared that I wanted to highlight here. I forgot to say this. She said, wow, I was surprised to hear other youth thinking the same thing I am. And that wasn't the thing that caused me to stop, but it's isolating you. The devil's a thief. What do predators do? Predators will find something weak and get them isolated from a herd or a group of animals because there's protection in that group. But when you get isolated, you get picked off. And he does that through deception. And he gets you to think lower than yourself. And yet, then you start thinking lower of yourself, and yet God in his word says, you're made in my image. And this scripture comes to mind. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It's talking about we are his workmanship. That's the part that's he made us. And we're his workmanship. And this blesses me in the Amplified Classic. It says, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. So think about this. Why would God talk to us in a way that's demeaning if we're his workmanship? Why would he do that? That would be somebody sadistic, right? So he says here, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has designed us to live a good life, a productive life. And so whenever things start getting rocky, we ought to stop and say, this is not from God. This path that I'm on, this path that I'm taking is the wrong path. I'm not living the productive life. And we need to stop, and we need to seek God like Ashley did and Brianna and all of them just said. You start seeking him, And he begins to do what? He begins to speak to you. He said, I've been here all the time. I'm just waiting for you to come. I've just been waiting on you to come. And so it's so wonderful for me to hear this, because we are his workmanship, and he has designed for all of us, not just for them. They're sharing their testimonies and how God impacted their life, but every one of us. If we're not living a good, productive life, we need to stop and say, am I on the right path? Is this what God ordained for me to do? Now, if you're convinced of that, didn't say everything is going to be rocky and not rocky. I mean, there may be some things we go through. But if I'm convinced this is the path I'm on, at some point, it can't be I'm behind the eight ball all the time. I'm coming up short. No. So God has designed us in such a way to have fellowship with him, communion with him. And I think it's most important that you have somebody that you can talk to. If you can't talk openly or comfortably with your parents, find somebody that you can be comfortable with and have a chat and talk and share your heart. Bear your heart with somebody that you trust. Because the devil's a master at getting us off alone. And then what happens? We start thinking on these thoughts. And then if you keep thinking on them long enough, you make choices based on those thoughts. And if they're not good thoughts, we can make some bad choices, right? We can make some choices that aren't too good. And you see that in life, where people get frustrated, they make bad choices, and those choices can be life-changing. You know, you could have a young lady get frustrated about something, and I've seen it, you know, just growing up, interacting with, you know, this store that I go to across the street from the church in Nanuet. It's a health food store. I go in there, and most of the people are Spanish. So you learn a little Spanish, you communicate, you say hello. And I remember one young girl, she was graduating from high school. I said, well, what are you going to be doing? She said, oh, I'm going off to college. I'm going to be doing this and da, 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 da. And I said, oh, great. That's great. And the next thing I know, she said, I'm pregnant. I said, oh, okay. I said, God loves you. I said, okay. No, it's not the end of the world, but you made a choice. And now it was a life-changing choice. And now it's not the end of the world, no. You have a child that now you're going to have to take and be responsible for at 17 or 18. And now all the plans that you might have had get affected. So sometimes the devil is there to do what? Steal from you. And so make sure before you make choices in life that you don't get isolated, but you get good input from people, people you trust. Because it can be a bad choice. I mean, I've seen it going in life. I mean, I remember working for the utility company, and you know, I had a team of programmers, and we wrote software for the utility company, and periodically we met with the I did, because I was a lead person. I would meet periodically with maybe a vice president, or we met with the CEO. He met with principal individuals to just share what they were thinking. And I was at a meeting. This was a private kind of a thing, and the CEO showed up, and you know, it was a big thing. Anyways, we had breakfast. It was kind of relaxed. And he had an extremely strong Boston accent. Anybody know what I mean? Boston. And he was a short guy, no nonsense. No nonsense. And the guy that I worked with, he was a lead guy like me. He made fun of his Boston accent in public. And I don't have to tell you what happened. He wasn't fired, but after that, he went nowhere. And I said, sometimes people can make dumb choices. And it affected his whole career. So he had to leave because he was going nowhere in that company. So I just share that the devil is here to do what? Steal from us, to isolate us from, groups that think like us. And I think it's so important that, when you're getting to the age where you're now going to college and you're interacting with other people that may not believe like you do, you're going to have a strong foundation of what you stand for. And it's not going to be popular. It's not. And you're going to have to know that God loves me. And they may laugh at you and all of that, but I'd rather have people laugh at me and know that the God of this universe loves me and cares for me. I'd rather have that. Because at the end of the day, we have what they don't have. We have what they're seeking for. We have God, and He lives in our hearts, and He loves us. And so we just need to remember that God is a good God. And So God is this area of best in class. Just always remember that He made you to succeed. He made you to have His attributes and to think like Him and to know. So that means that if God lives in me, then that means I should know what path to take. If He's got my best interest, then the Holy Spirit lives in us and is going to do what? Show us things in our life that we need to do. And that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, that if you get to know Him and you get to know His ways, He'll guide you. He'll yield to you. He'll yield to you, not yield, but He'll direct you. You know, it's interesting. Ian, who went to camp, Pastor Enrique's son, he's in high school, and he shared this. He said, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me how I can reach youth my age, and He's giving me ideas how to do that. I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. Because it's going to be you who are going to reach children of your age. And so when I hear that, I said, see, He's beginning to recognize God's voice. He's beginning to recognize the ideas that are coming from God. And He said, I'm perfecting these ideas. How to reach them. He was saying he was up in Spring Valley handing out flyers for the backpack. And he said, I'm developing, he said, there was a whole group of Guatemalans and different groups sitting at a store. There were about 30 of them sitting there. And he said, I asked them if they were interested, and nobody bit, nobody responded. And then he said, I just shared about, being an immigrant. And he talked about how his dad came to this country as an immigrant, illegal, and he's speaking their language, right? Because most of them, if not all of them, were illegal. And he's saying, my dad came here at 12. His mother and father died. He came here. He had no father. And he was angry because he didn't have a relationship with his father. And then when he got saved, he found out God is my father and he loves me. And so Ian is saying, I'm perfecting this message to share about an immigrant and that if even if you don't have a father, God loves you. And so just going out and sharing that with people in the streets, you know, he said, it can make the world a difference. And so I said, you know what? We need to know God loves us and that he loves people. And we're to love people. Even the ones that are angry at us and hurting, we're to love people because people are hurting. And I just appreciate what was shared this morning. It just tells me more and more about how, what's the word I want to use? How important the times are. Somebody shared something recently this year. I was at some meetings in May, and this minister was sharing about the end times and the return of Christ. He said, we're so close to the return of Christ. I'm hearing this from others, that he said, the church is not recognizing the signs. And this man has studied end time prophecy for 30, 40 years, and he started to lay out all of the various signs in the earth, the things that are going on that indicate that his return is very close. Jesus is about ready to return. And he said this, he said, you know, if you're a runner, he said, and you've trained to run and you're in a race, he said, when you see the finish line, you don't cruise. You don't lay back. He said, when you see that finish line, anybody knows this, you see the Olympics now. When they get close to that last, when they see the finish line, they're putting every ounce of energy. They're straining for the finish line. And he said, here's what's going on in the church. The church is not recognizing that Jesus is about ready to return. They don't see the finish line. So the church is not putting all of their energy and effort in to reach people. And I said, we need to be. Because he's about ready to return. And so we need to recognize the finish line and to be doing everything we can to reach people in different kind of ways. Just tell them God loves them and he cares for them. So it's time to get busy, and however you can get busy, that's what we need to do. And we have a, you know, God has a plan and a path for you. He loves you. And I tell you, it's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be alive. And yeah, but again, I appreciate all that was shared this morning. We're going to do some major great things. And it takes... I saw somebody posted something recently negative on our Facebook page, and I thought, well, that's their loss. But they took issue with us calling in things to the ministry. In other words, you know, when we stream everything. And when we... when God gives us a direction to call something in or speak to something, Jesus spoke to things. He spoke to the winds. Spoke to things. spoke to the fig tree, cursed it. So God gave us some direction to call in $80,000 each week and believe and call it in. And this person said that was, how did they put it? It was, what was the word they used? It was, trying to think the word now, but it was self, you know, in other words, it was greedy. You know, that's another word I guess I could use. It was greedy to call it in. And I'm thinking, okay. So what I do, you know, I look at stuff and so they made some little snarky remark and I don't respond to that, but I just looked at it. And then when I went to their Facebook page, they were dinging every ministry. And I went, oh, okay, well, we're never, so. I mean, they were dinging every ministry for doing something. And I thought, see, that's what the devil wants you to do, is to get all right, you know, get upset about what people say. And I thought, I just prayed for the person and just said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it takes, it, you know, you're not going to do things for God unless you operate in faith. And faith decrees things. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:13. In other words, when you decide to do something, what do? You voice it. We have a voice. And voice, words, is your faith speaking. If you think about it, what you believe, you'll speak. What you believe, you'll voice. So words that you speak is your faith speaking. So if you talk negative, that's what you've been meditating on, and you believe that. And it takes sometimes God opening our eyes to get us to change what we speak. So when we don't have something, that's what faith is. It says faith is what? The foundation of things that we believe, we're hoping for. So God is working in our midst. He wants us to live a good life, but it's going to take guarding your heart, things that you meditate on, and you got to believe with all of your heart, God loves me. He wants me to have a productive, supernatural life full of blessing. And I'm going to decree that. I'm going to speak that. Think about that. All through Jesus' ministry, he spoke what was written in the Old Testament about him. So why aren't we doing the same? Why aren't we talking about who we are in Christ? Why aren't we saying, this is what God said about me? He said that about me. The God of the universe said that about me. Well, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that. And I'm going to be in agreement with it, right? There's a scripture, I'll close with this scripture here. This is in the book of Job. That's why it's so important to watch what you say. But this is in the book of Job in chapter 22 and verse 28. These are a couple of different translations. The King James says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. The Voice translation says, you will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. And this is the Common English Bible. It says, if you decree something, it will stand. Huh. If you decree something, it will stand. And this is the Amplified Classic. It says, you shall also decide and decree a thing. See, you got to decide, and then you got to do what? Speak it. Decree a thing. And it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. So we need to decree some things. First of all, you need to go back and look at what does God say about me? Decree that, and it'll stand. God will watch over it to make sure it comes to pass. I'm made in his image and likeness. I've got his nature in me. I've got his love shed abroad in my heart. The greater one lives in me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Start talking that way, and those things will be established in your life. Decree a thing. We're decreeing a lot of stuff now, and most times, think about it, what is the world know? Minister Joe knows this. Marketing. You say something long enough, even in politics, I don't mean to get into politics, but politicians know this. If you keep putting something out in front of the public, they begin over time to accept it and believe it. It's marketing. And the devil does the same thing. I'm using that term, but he keeps feeding a lie. If you keep listening to it long enough, you accept it. So why not go back to the Word of God, which says it's forever settled in heaven? Malachi 3:6 says God doesn't change. So if he said it, he must honor what he said. So that means I'm going to say what he said. And if we keep saying that, then long enough, I'm going to believe it, right? Faith does what? Comes by hearing. Hearing who? Hearing me say it. And I begin to believe it. It begins to take root in my heart. And you begin to walk a little bit different. You begin to think like him. You begin to talk like God. You begin to think that way. Not the way the world looks at us and thinks of us. And I'm telling you, this is the key. The devil wants to deceive us into looking at ourselves differently than the way God looks at us. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Anybody got anything else to say? I'm finished. Got anything else, Ashley, to say? No? You said all you're going to say today, right? Huh?
In the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, verse 6-9, God instructed the children of Israel to write his word on the doorpost of their house.
Right.
Right? So in other words, you have a dwelling place. You live in it. You spend most of your time in your house. And God instructed them to write his word, his commandments, on the doorpost in their house. So everywhere you turn, you are looking at his word. And what you see is what you internalize.
What you internalize. And see, that's the thing. When the world knows this. They're operating spiritual principles. When you look at people that are motivational speakers, you can go back, you can see Tony Robbins, all of the well-known people that go out and get up in front of people to motivate people. What's the primary thing they get people to do? Change their thinking. That's the motivation piece. And they say, see yourself this way. You see yourself successful. See yourself doing this. You have a God-given imagination, and your imagination is to be used to see myself doing things for God, not a failure. Well, you're paying all this money to go listen, and I'm not against it, but I'm saying they're doing what we're trying to get all of us to do, and that is think of ourselves the way God thinks, sees us. See ourselves doing great things. Don't say, well, I just hope we're going to do that. No, we're going to do that. And you do the same thing. You don't go, well, I just hope I graduate from college, or I just hope I do. No, I'm going to do this. And with God's help and his strength, I will do it. That's what people who are successful do. Does it mean they've never failed? No, it doesn't mean that. Maybe they failed three or four times, but they said, I'm going to do this. And they get up and they keep doing it. And that's all we're saying. It's spiritual.
It's spiritual.
It's spiritual.
In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, let me go back to 6:6 because it gives us the context. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto their children. Talking about Ashley, right? Ashley, I was so blessed with your testimony. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. So don't just write them around your doorpost and your door frames, talk about them over food, yeah. Right? And then he says, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. In other words, everything that is a feature of your lifestyle, you got to incorporate the word of God into it, right? And he goes on to say, you know, in verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. You know, the bracelets and things that we have, put the word of God on them, your favorite scriptures. And then he says, and they shall write them upon the post of their house and on thy gates. Now, remember, in John 1:14, the Bible says, and the word became flesh. So as you write or inscribe the word of God around your doorpost and on your bracelets and all kinds of stuff, and you meditate on it day and night, that spirit becomes substance in you. And then when we sang Pastor Clinton's song this morning, when I believe, you shall say to the mountain, you see, the word is already in you. So when circumstances and situation comes, the same Holy Spirit will inspire you with a word that he has already placed there. Friday, Brother Ralph and I were here by ourselves, and we were learning about the Holy Spirit from the book. And one of the things that blew me away, we were reading John chapter 14 and 16, right? And when the Holy Spirit said, when Jesus said the Holy Spirit would testify about me, the Holy Ghost gave me the word. He says, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' DNA. Think about it. The Holy Spirit has Jesus' DNA. Because Jesus said he would testify about me. And you know, the scriptures took me to when they went to Mary, and the angel told Mary, you shall have the baby Jesus. And Mary said, how is it going to be possible? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you have Jesus. Hallelujah. So, to cut a long story short, you can't be an effective Christian without a daily consumption of the word. Daily. Multiple doses daily. Read Psalm 1. It says you'll be successful and prosper. It doesn't mean you don't have problems, but you make spiritual progress progressively. Are you with me?
That's it.
Oh, we can have another sermon.
Where did this come? Where did it go?
Oh, this is right here.
Oh, that was right there. I didn't know where it came from. Well,
it gets me excited.
I know. I see. Well, I would just say this. Between Abigail and Cody and Gary and Brianna and Ashley, you have opportunities. All of us do, but mainly you have opportunities. Take what you've received. And we all do this. You know, sometimes we as adults, we go to meetings, we're refreshed. We go, boy, I can come out of this. I'm going, I'm woo. And then in a couple of weeks, you're like, oof. You just have to go back and remember, wait a minute. And reflect and feed upon the Word of God. Stir yourself up because He's in you. Go back and reflect on that experience. God didn't change. This is just something I'm walking through. I'm going through it. And He loves me, and I'm going to come out on top. You know, everybody that has been a success in their life, you know what they tell you? Most of them. They'll say, I'm not better than anybody else. I just didn't quit. I continued. I didn't feel like it, but I just put one foot in front of the other, and I didn't quit. And that's where the success comes. Don't be a quitter. Don't quit. Yeah. Just don't quit. Keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep moving. And God will meet you. You keep seeking Him, right? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that You're doing in our midst. Thank You that You love us. Thank You that You care for us. Thank You that You're a good God. And we rejoice and we thank You, Father, for all of the lives that have been affected and touched. We thank You that You love us with a deep love. And thank You, Father, that the next step is for us to tell others how much You love us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.